The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Myers.
Good morning and happy Conspiracy Theory Thursday for Halloween. Join the conversation 770-563-3770-KMED. Email Bill at BillMyersShow.com. The Facebook.com/BillMyersShow is up. Yes, I am wearing my Trump honorary, well, it's a yellow vest. I don't have an orange vest. It does have orange stripes on it, though. The high-vis one. Yeah, I was coming home yesterday. I had a long day. I've actually had three long days out in the field. You know, you're trying to get transmitter sites. You know, I do that stuff when I'm off air. You go and do repairs and get things ready. And this is the time of year in which you're getting things ready for the winter because sometimes the weather's bad in a lot of those places and it's hard to get to. So you want to make sure everything's all working okay. And so I'm coming home and I'm tired and I'm beat up and I'm kind of grumpy, right? And I'm walking through the door and hi, honey, you know, Linda's there and we start talking. And then we popped on the television and there's Trump in a garbage truck. And we start laughing and it's like all of a sudden I felt so much better. There is, he had just gotten up into the garbage truck and was talking politics and answering questions. This is in Wisconsin, by the way, talking to the reporters, and they talked about all sorts of things. I did find it interesting that he was criticizing what was going on with the voting system, the vote by mail in the United States, and he was contrasting that. And I thought it was quite interesting as he's yelling this from the garbage truck.
Very sad when you get machines, you pay all that money, and they talk about 3 days later. I think we're going to have a big enough victory to maybe have it that night. You should always have it, Bill. You know, every night. If you look at France, 38 million votes. At 10 o'clock in the evening, it was over. All paper ballots, all voter ID, one-day voting, and it was over. How do you like my garbage truck? This truck is in honor of Kamala and Joe Biden.
Yeah, everybody played that part about, hey, this is my garbage truck, and you know, we're doing this in honor of Kamala and Joe, you know, that kind of thing. But I thought that comment right before it was so right on. Here it is. We have these massive vote counts that go on for days now. Now that we have electronic machines doing all this counting and then rerunning the ballots and then rerunning the ballots, that, of course, we still don't know where they came because most of them are coming in through the mail now, right? We do that. France does it with paper ballots in person. And they're doing it in all their own little precincts. I'm sure they don't call it precincts. And they submit the results, and they have the results by the end of the evening, right? That's the way we used to do it. It's the way we used to do it. You had things broken up into small, easily manageable precincts, and you counted them locally. Now, I suppose, yeah, you could do ballot stuffing, or you could do hinky there on that kind of voting system. But you're doing it out in the open, I would suppose, and you'd have to do it to a lot of different precincts to have an appreciable impact on the election. You see what I'm getting at? Yeah. Not now, with the no chain of command, you know, in your ballots burning up in the steel box, you know, type of system. Yeah. We don't know. You don't know. You don't really know. It's all faith-based at this point. We used to have some certitude of what was going on with the vote. There was a chain of custody. It was there in the election system. That was the only place it ever was. It was there. They were counting them in there. They would recount them in there, and then they would submit them to the county, and then the county would submit them to the Secretary of State, et cetera, et cetera. Pretty simple, really. And, yeah, you had a bunch of people that had a vested interest in making sure that the count was a good one. You usually had both parties in there watching things like a hawk. Right now, what are we doing right now when you're an election observer? All you're doing is looking at the ballots being loaded into a machine. Hey, you know, that machine didn't look like it counted it right. How do you know? All right. Really stupid the way we do things these days. France has their election results that night. They're talking about us not having election results for days. And even in Oregon, you can wait up to a week. Up to a week. For the ballot to make it in there. No chain of custody. No possibility of having time to figure out hinky to what do they call it, fortify a ballot or two or three or 100 or 1,000 or who knows. You know, you just don't know. There's just no chain of custody the way we do it here right now. None. And I'm glad that President Trump put that out there. Interesting that the news media didn't play that part about it, but they all play, hey, yeah, look at my garbage truck, and that was great. That was great. I was laughing. I'm just going, that's great retail politics, and that's the way it should be done. Trump has some good people on the ground there. They were thinking fast on that one. He talked about the event a little bit later in the Wisconsin rally, a very successful one.
So this outfit, you know, is when he called us all garbage. How stupid. What a stupid word. That blows deplorable away, don't you think? Of course, I thought irredeemable when she said deplorable or irredeemable. I thought irredeemable was actually worse, but deplorable seemed to catch up. But this garbage stuff blows it away. So I'm in this beautiful plane. I'm enjoying myself. I have a wonderful suit on. And one of my people came in and said, sir, you know, the word garbage is the hottest thing right now out there. The hottest thing out there. Sir, would you like to drive a garbage truck? Now, we're about, you know, 30 minutes from landing. We had to do this pretty quick. I said, it's sort of cool, though, isn't it? Because, you know. And I said, you know, I think that's okay. But, you know, I don't feel comfortable wearing a suit. And they pulled up this garbage truck. I don't know how the hell they did it so fast. I have very capable people. They put a big sign on the truck. Did you see it? I think they showed it. Yeah. And then they said, sir, we have a vest. I said, well, should I leave my suit on and put it over the vest? But that doesn't look very good, right? That doesn't look good. So I said, all right, look, let me take it off. And then I actually said, I climbed into the truck. But so I said, how the hell do you get into this truck? It's way up high. It's a big one. This was a beauty. I said, you didn't have to buy it that big, right? You have to get it that big. They brought this brand new, gorgeous truck, wonderful driver. He looked like Cary Grant in his prime. You know who that is? This beautiful driver. And he drove that big thing up. And I said, man, this is bad, because now I have all the cameras are all watching. Look at all the fake news. They were most of them.
We can't hate them enough, huh?
Now, most of them. Many of them were there, and I'm saying, oh, boy, you know, one little mistake with these guys and your political career is over. You can't even. So I said, man, if I don't get up there, this is going to be very embarrassing. These stupid people, they'll say, he's cognitively and physically impaired.
Oh, trying to get into the truck. Yeah. Yeah.
And I can't do that when I'm alongside of this great athlete. I got to get up to that. So look, so the first stair is like up here. I'm sick.
Yeah, getting into the truck's hard.
So I had the adrenaline going and I made it. I made it. And then I gave a little news conference from the front of the, you know, they asked their wise guy questions and everything. And then we drove about 2 feet. I got out, got into the plane. And then I got in the car, and I'm driving over here, and I have this still on. And I come into the arena, and I say, where's my jacket? I want to get out of this thing. And they said, it would be unbelievable if you could wear it on stage. I said, and I said, no way. I got 25,000 people standing outside. I got all these people here. There's no way I'm wearing it on stage. They said, oh, okay, sir. I said, get me my jacket. But if you did, you know, it actually makes you look thinner. I said, and they got me. I said, I want to wear it on stage.
Ultimately, a little vanity gets him. You got to love that. Trump, the ultimate showman. Yesterday was the ultimate showman. You know, was that a better retail politics stunt than McDonald's? I think that one was even better than McDonald's. Do you? I really do. Because this one was not pre-announced. It was not talked about or made much of. This one just happened. It caught everybody by surprise. Nobody was expecting that. All of a sudden, like I said, I was grumpy thinking about the election, thinking about all the other stuff that's coming. I'm coming home. I'm cold. It was out in the rain. It was a rainy afternoon and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I'm just like a grump. And I wanted to sit down, have some dinner and just, you know, pass out or whatever it is. And then I'm looking at Trump on the television in the garbage truck. And I start laughing, realizing how heads must be exploding. How heads must have been exploding in the other. Oh, they got us again. What are we have to report on it. Although a lot of places did not do much mentioning of that yesterday, but they're going to have no choice but to report it on the morning shows, I would imagine. 22 minutes after six. Good job. I think it was actually better than McDonald's. What about you? 770-5633. This is the Bill Myers Show. We'll cover some other headlines too coming up.
Riley with Rotary Drilling Company, and I'm on KMED.
24 minutes after six. Boy, the best part about Trump in the garbage truck yesterday was that he was having fun. He's having fun, and I don't think any other candidate that I'm aware of really could have played that off and made it work. Because I know they talk about authenticity a lot or what looks authentic. It looks kind of natural. I think a lot of that came from the time when he was, in the construction world, right? You know, construction world would go out there. You know, he'd be out there probably in the suit, right? But he would have the hard hat on, and he's talking to the people, to the working the construction, you know, building the buildings, and then pouring the concrete, things like that. Trump's very good at that. Checking in, Charlie is here. Hey, checking in, Charlie. Conspiracy Theory Thursday. What's on your mind today, huh?
Let's see here today. Well, I'd like to thank you, one, for bringing some clarity to the ice cream conspiracy throughout the United States when it comes to those ice cream machines yesterday.
Oh, yeah. I was talking with Kristen Tressel, Tressel Law. She was talking about this victory that I guess McDonald's and some other places are going to be allowed to fix their flurry machines and their milkshake machines. I mean, how many months have we been going on in which you'd go to the restaurants and Sonic and other places like that? They'd say, well, the ice cream machine's broken. And we're going like, what? Right? Do you ever wonder about that too?
I have wondered about it from California all the way out here to Rhode Island, because it happened to me the other day out here visiting.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, there's got to be something to this. And I do thank Kristen for letting us know all about that.
Yeah, ends up being a monopoly in which the way things were set up with the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, that if you weren't authorized by the factory, you didn't have the codes, et cetera, you weren't allowed to repair it, you know, in essence. And no wonder they were so screwed up. Gosh, especially during COVID time. That was when a lot of that happened, didn't it?
Exactly. And, those laws need to be updated by far, to say the least. And I'm glad Trump got out there yesterday.
Wasn't that fun?
That he can be Yeah, it was great, let me tell you, because I'm so happy he showed everybody out there that he can get out there and be a working man just like us all.
Darn straight. Well, you know, he has been out there every day. He has taken no time off over the last, I want to say, was it 57 days? I think 57 days, maybe very close to that, that he's been on the road. He is amazingly energetic, and he looks great. It's almost like the campaign feeds him. And you look at Kamala Harris, and say what you will, Kamala Harris was not really prepared to do this kind of campaigning. She tends to look tired, drawn, and exhausted, probably because she doesn't have that great wall of support behind her. I think that's what's going on. Doesn't really have a plan. Doesn't have a program, really. That's how I see it.
Yeah, and it's also because she never worked at no McDonald's, let me tell you. And right down the street here on Highway 42 in the middle of Rhode Island, there is a Trump store. And today I'm going to go down there and I'm going to take a picture right next to the life-size Trump. How about that?
All right. You sent it to me. Check it in, Charlie. Thanks so much. All right.
Thank you. Take care.
All
Have
right,
a wonderful
you too.
Day. Have a happy Halloween.
We plan on it. 770-5633. Actually, Halloween is not really my favorite holiday. In fact, I don't do much about it at all. Yeah, it's like I have the candy in the bowl, but that's about it. There's some people in my neighborhood that are just gone incredibly, I mean, just going all out. There's one guy out on Delta Water Speedway that had, you know, Delta Water Speedway, it's where all the speeding goes on. Delta Water Speedway, and they have one of these skeletons that it's about 15 feet, about 15 feet tall, about 15 feet tall skeleton. That must have cost a pretty penny, put it up there. They go all into it, set the graveyard up in the front yard. Halloween's not my thing, but I do love handing the kids out, some candy, and it's great seeing them. They're just so darn cute. Now, when the teenagers are showing up, 16, 17, no, you're not so cute, all right? Go get a job. All right, 28 after 6. Hi, good morning. Who's this? This is Bill.
Good morning, Bill, Tom, and Talon.
Hi, hey, Tom, how are you today? Huh?
Oh, doing fine. That Trump stunt was just, I thought it was fabulous.
That was brilliant retail politics, and it's not a... It just, there aren't many people that could do that. There really aren't. But I think his ultimate carnival barker showman type of personality works with something like that, wouldn't you say?
Oh yeah. And you know that Biden's garbage comment, it would have been so easy to get angry and just traded barb for barb. Uh-huh. But when you get in a garbage truck like he did, and it points out the absolute absurdity of the left and all their charges and so forth. They keep calling Trump that he's losing his mental capabilities and sliding, slipping, and so forth. And, of course, they just don't like what he's saying, so they can say any bad thing about him. And then to take this garbage truck and just throw it back in their face, I thought it was just a fabulous retort, much more effective than just getting angry and cursing them and so forth.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. People were getting upset about that. It's like they threw him, they threw him a baseball made of garbage and he hit it out of the park is what he did, you know, in essence.
That's a good way to put it. Was it Mondale or who was it that showed up in the tank?
Oh, that was Michael Dukakis. Dukakis.
Okay,
right?
Yeah. Well, that was so phony, but this garbage truck, as you say, truck, it hits it out of the park.
Yeah, I loved it. But, you know, the part that also made it real, though, was that it was obvious that he was kind of concerned. You know, am I going to be able to get up into this truck? Because 78 years old, right? And that is a high step in pulling yourself in there. And, you know, he's always aware of that. But the fact that he even mentioned hey, can I do this sort of stuff? That's real. Everybody else would try to do everything possible to make it look, yeah, I did this fine, you know, no problem. But, he was a little bit concerned. I'm glad he didn't slip because, you know, you're right. That would have been all over everything. But still, yeah. great day. And the thing is, it was kind of a cathartic in a way. You know, it kind of cut the pressure, that whole, you know, a lot of people were kind of steaming over that garbage. You know, that garbage comment.
Exactly. I think it was such an effective barb right into the just a Trump derangement syndrome.
And it just pierced it. It just pierced it. Boom, dead. You know?
Yes.
Kind of like, the stake through the heart of a vampire. There we go. It's what happened. Perfect for Halloween, all right? Hey, Tom, great hearing from you, okay? You take care.
Carry on.
631 at KMED, 99.3 KBXG. By the way, Kamala Harris trying to distance herself from from Biden calling Trump supporters garbage, but, you know, damage is pretty much already done. It's just not happening, and they were pretty much caught flat-footed on that. But still, overall, great day. Retail politics was just good stuff. Trump is very good at it. It's 632 at KMED, 99.3 KBXG. Now, here in Halloween, it's cold and wet and rainy and windy. And, yeah, I know it was pretty warm a few days ago, but it's hot over in the capital, nation's capital right now. So all of the news organizations, the national news, talking about, Halloween, it's 80 degrees. It's climate change destroying Halloween. Steve Malloy will have something to say about that from junkscience.com.
Joel here from Motherford and Truck Center, and I got a couple
Visit electkimwallen.com. Paid for by Friends of Kim Wallen, PAC 18284.
You're hearing the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
638. Going to be right now, Steve Malloy. Because over in, Steve Malloy, by the way, let me just let you know. He's a senior E&E Legal Institute fellow, former Trump EPA transition team member, and also founder of JunkScience.com, which you still do your ex post out of this morning. Steve, welcome to a warm Halloween, at least in the nation's capital. Good to have you
on. Yeah, happy Halloween. It's great to be here, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Well, I couldn't help but notice that the scary media is trying to scare people once again. Climate change, we're all going to die because Halloween's forecast in the nation's capital is 80 degrees. Now, here it's going to be like 50, maybe, lots of rain, lots of wind. But, of course, it was pretty warm a couple of weeks ago, and people were making scary predictions about that, too. And then the switch flipped, and now it's scary weather that we have here. But you have such nice weather, though. It must be because of CO2, right? It has to be the CO2.
Yeah.
That must be so it.
It's a little warmer than average in Washington today. It's going to be 80 degrees, and, the Washington Post is like, oh, this is scarily warm, of course, blaming climate change. And, when they first ran this article several days ago, they omitted mentioning that on this date in 1950, which was 74 years ago, it actually, not forecast, it actually hit 85 degrees, which is 5 degrees warmer than what it's supposed to hit today. And of course, 74 years ago was many emissions ago, much urban heat island ago. So it has been warmer before on this date. And today is just, it's just a beautiful day here in Washington, D.C., 80 degrees, not a cloud in the sky, which is probably why it's so warm, because there's not a cloud in the sky. And, it's that big yellow ball, not the invisible carbon dioxide in the atmosphere that warms our makes our weather warm.
Hmm. Now, has the carbon dioxide warming the planet been proven, or is it still just a scientific theory that is pushed by many for political effect still?
Well, yeah, so that, that's really a great question. I mean, it's really just a hypothesis, because there is no direct scientific way of showing that emissions have really warmed anything. You can't, they have climate models which are based on the idea that, the hypothesis that emissions warm the atmosphere, but none of those models work. So if none of the models work, and they're all based on this hypothesis that emissions warm the atmosphere, what does that say about the hypothesis? Well, it says that it's wrong.
But yet it's reported, though, as if this is settled, though. And I find this astounding, that after all this time, to hear that no, it's not proven, it's not a peer reviewed thing. It's a hypothesis, but a highly reported hypothesis, and it's reported incessantly, Steve.
Yeah. Well, so when it first started out, in the early 1980s, it was just sort of an idea. And then James Hansen, chief climate scientist at NASA in 1988, testified in Congress, suggested it a little stronger. Then for a couple of years after that, it was just sort of an hypothesis. Then all of a sudden, they just decided it was real. And so, for at least the past 25 years, we've been force-fed this as reality. And, of course, nothing could be further from the truth. For example, this past year, we've just experienced a warming spike.
Mm-hmm.
And but the warming spike was not predicted by the models. The models don't explain it. What does explain it is that we've also been through a super El Nino. El Nino is this natural warming, periodic natural warming of the Pacific, which just changes the world's weather, which is what has happened over the past year.
And now we're going into a La Nina, which is a cooler, considerably wetter period.
Right.
And we're
right.
already seeing a little bit of that out here on the West Coast, and that'll be kind of welcome. You had talked about the urban heat island effect. And I'm wondering if that gets way too little play these days.
Yeah.
Because, you go back to the early 1920s or so, although most of, even here in Oregon, most of the big bad weather, super hot time, the weather records, most of those were set in the late 1920s, 1930s or so, in which population down here was relatively low. But what has happened over the years, though, is that we've built all of these huge cities, lots of asphalt, lots of concrete, lots of black roofs and such. And it would just strike me that what solar radiation does come down ends up heating up the roofs and heating up the concrete and really making the perceived temperature a lot warmer than back when it was nothing but pear orchards and trees here in Southern Oregon, as an example.
Right. So that's absolutely correct. And, you know, adding on top of that is the fact that it's from these, you know, urban heat island biased places that we, you know, take the temperatures that are used to calculate global warming. And they never mention that. You know, it's if you look at temperatures out in rural areas, you don't really see any warming going on. My favorite is in the California forest fires. You know, they like to blame global warming for that. But if you look at the temperatures in these, you know, forests where the fires are starting, there's no warming going on in the forests. All the warming is going on in the urban areas.
Well, unless the forest catches on fire because we don't have good forest
that makes it a little
thinning
warmer.
And yeah, that makes it a little bit warmer there too. Yeah, Steve Malloy, once again, Senior Energy and Environment Legal Institute Fellow. It's eelegal.org, former Trump EPA transition team member. Hey, by the way, before we get into some other things, if Trump ends up getting back into office, is there a possibility you'll be part of the transition team again, looking to formulate some policy for the next 4 years? Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that I want to be, you know, on the team and have that those sort of responsibilities, but I'd like to have some input, sir, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have a lot of experience in these areas, and, you know, so I'd like to have some input.
Okay, all right, but you don't want to be a full-time on the team anymore, right? You're kind of past that?
Yeah. Been there, done that.
Well, you know, I imagine it's like having a huge target on your back, isn't it? Anytime you're working for the Trump administration.
Well, you know, people don't say nice things about you. I mean, I don't really care about that. But, you know, I mean, the important thing, look, I try to get the ideas out there. That's what I'm really interested in, how they actually work out politically. Well, that's kind of for others.
Okay.
But, you know.
Steve, I was reading an article the other day, and it cuts against my belief system and my grain, but I thought I would at least run it by you, okay? And the thought about carbon dioxide there, it was an article, I don't know if it was Scientific American, someplace, some scientific journal, and they were making the case that, or trying to make the case that the reason carbon dioxide could be responsible for more of the warming is that it takes a long time. It takes a long time for the carbon dioxide, which is emitted right now, to end up being reabsorbed by the system. Like it would take several decades. Is there any scientific juice really behind that? And what are your overall thoughts? Because you know they make a reasonable thing. It's like, that's why they're saying that. And you know, there's no difference. Nature doesn't treat man-made carbon dioxide any differently than the natural, but that's why they're claiming that it can't be absorbed quickly enough.
Yeah, so this is another really interesting question, and of course, climate alarmists like to say, oh, carbon dioxide stays in the atmosphere for 20 or more years.
Right.
I've seen research where it's, you know, on the order of 4 or 5 years, but it's really hard to tell because, you know, emissions are not the only thing that add carbon dioxide into the atmosphere. I mean, we have the living world. You know, we have this huge natural carbon cycle, which is much, much, much bigger than emissions. And, you know, the world has been warming since before fossil fuels. I mean, the world's been warming since at least 1650, coming out of a period called the Little Ice Age.
And it's a good thing it has been warming because, you know, we've had times, you know, you think back even during the Revolutionary War period, you know, the times those winters were desperately cold and growing.
Yeah, I think of George Washington crossing the, you know, frozen Delaware River. It doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah, exactly. And so, and by the way, the frozen Delaware River is not something you should be thirsting for out there.
Right. So the natural carbon cycle has really been juiced up over the last 350 years. And, you know, that is responsible for a lot of the carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, which is good because it's carbon dioxide is necessary for plant growth, which is necessary for, you know, which is the foundation of agriculture.
Yeah, which of course grows food. Grows food and feeds people and pets, things like that.
Yeah.
All that kind of stuff.
I guess the bottom line of your question is no one really knows because there's no way of figuring this out. I mean, yeah, people can sit there with pencil and paper or a blackboard all day, but you can't figure it out because you can't predict it. I mean, there was a huge spike in CO2 emissions over the past year, but energy emissions hardly went up at all. So obviously the huge spike in atmospheric CO2 wasn't due to energy emissions. It was due to the natural carbon cycle. Well, but nobody wants to talk about that.
It could have also be part of, when you end up having, let's say, pyroclastic undersea volcanoes that were blowing out. I know that happened down in the Philippines a couple of years ago, I think, is where that happened, or Indonesia.
Oh, right.
Was it?
The Hunga Tonga volcanic explosion in January 2022 put added 10% of water vapor to the upper atmosphere. That happened, but we don't know what the effects are. I mean, the effects on climate could be huge.
Yeah, well, actually, we are told by the scientists, following the science, that water vapor is the most effective, I don't want to say scary, but the most effective greenhouse gas of all, really, is water vapor in the air.
It's the dominant greenhouse gas. And the El Nino I mentioned earlier, the warming of the Pacific, that puts a lot of water vapor into the atmosphere. So that's what has made it warmer over the past year. Plus, you had that volcanic explosion that put even more water vapor in the stratosphere. Who knows what effect that's had? And then there's also been some talk about, we've been cleaning the air, more sunshine, which is the primary driver of, warming on the planet. More sunshine has been reaching the Earth's surface. So, it's a combination of things. But there's no evidence that emissions is doing anything.
That is so interesting you brought up the cleaning of the air. I was going to go there. I didn't even know it. It must have been psychically connected here, Steve Malloy. But because seriously, I was born and grew up in the Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania era back in the 1960s. And in those days, we were talking real air pollution. The steel mills were going great guns, coal-fired power plants everywhere. They didn't really use the coal scrubbers at that point. And I remember the days that, the rain would fall and the paint would peel on my grandfather's Buick Electra 225 that he had parked at the U.S. Steel. And you always kind of had that haze, that industrial haze in the air and the soot and all that kind of stuff. And temperatures were relatively speaking cooler. Well, all those plants are gone. All that kind of industrial pollution is gone, and it would have had to have an effect on the ability of sun to reach the Earth, wouldn't it?
Of course. The steel plants back then would put a lot of sulfate aerosols into the air, and the sulfate aerosols reflect the sunlight, so it doesn't even reach the Earth's surface. So, of course, it's going to be cooler. Now, there's a really interesting phenomenon that 1930s were very warm, right? Sort of right before industrialization really hit.
Yes.
And then after World War II, with full-on industrialization, it just, it got relatively cooler. And, since we've been cleaning the air, it's been getting warmer.
So maybe just naturally the Earth was going to be warming more than we would have thought. It started in the 1930s, really, when all the big things in. Pollution kind of tamped it down for a while. Then from the 1970s on, we cleaned the pollution up, and so more sunlight's reaching the planet. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, no one's ever going to be able to prove this one way or another.
But it's a reasonable theory, though. It's a hypothesis,
plausible.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's certainly plausible. And just, this spring, studies came out saying that reporting that new maritime regulations, international maritime regulations, forcing shippers to use clean diesel fuel in their those big ships that transport all of the things we need, that has reduced sulfate particles in the air and maybe warming the oceans.
That is very interesting.
Yeah, but they never talk about this.
And it's not what we're advocating for, repolluting the planet, right? We're not doing that. But,
they are. The whole geoengineering thing is based on shooting these sulfur particles into the atmosphere to blot out the sun.
Well, I think it would be much easier and much smarter if we just shot Bill Gates out into the atmosphere, just have him. I just thinking that would be the great thing. All right, you really want to put something in orbit. We're going to put you there, buddy.
Yeah.
I got to tell you. Although I got to tell you, that does sort of tell you, though, what is going on in the real world with the big money when the big guys like Gates, though, are talking about geoengineering. And, oh, by the way, I'm investing in nuclear power right now, but you're supposed to be scared of it before, right?
Yeah, no. So now they're talking about reopening. Microsoft wants Three Mile Island, the site of the most serious, nothing actually happened, but most serious nuclear accident. They want to reopen it because they need the power for their data center.
Well, they need to build Skynet so we can have the Terminator movie play out, okay?
That's going to take nuclear power.
Having fun with you, Steve, and I always appreciate you having a humorous look at a serious subject, too. And by the way, you can keep up with Steve Malloy on @JunkScience on X. Of course, he's a big part of the Energy and Environment Legal Institute. You can read more about this under Steve Malloy, which is, he has a little tab there called Scare Pollution. And anything that you can do to continue to get people thinking about, we're going to die, you know, unless we send more money to the federal government and the state government and go back to horse and buggy, all right? You really are fighting that, aren't you?
No, absolutely. I just want, if whatever political solution people vote for, I guess that's okay. But, let's at least do it on an honestly informed basis. And, of course, since I've been working on environmental stuff, I've never seen Greens be honest about everything. Everything is a scare, and the planet is going to end if we don't do what they want. That's their standard line.
And back in the 1970s, doing what they want would have been warming the planet because it was getting cool back then.
If you want to destroy, your standard of living and the global economy with this green stuff, at least know that you're not accomplishing anything.
All right, fair enough. Steve, always great talking with you. Be
all
well.
Right, well
happy Halloween, and enjoy your trick-or-treaters coming there with all the Kit Kat bars melting in the heat, okay?
All right, thank you, Bill.
All right, you take care. 655 KMED, and once again, Steve Malloy from the Energy and Environment Legal Institute. They do good work there.
News Talk 106.3 KMED. This is the Bill Myers Show.
657 in other news. We now know what happened Monday. Highway 62 in Jackson County. It wasn't that far. Yeah, milepost 13 is where this happened. There was a woman, a pedestrian, who had been struck and killed. And we didn't really know too many of the details, though, but we do now. And I just wanted to catch you up with this. It was just before 8 o'clock, so it was in the evening, after sundown on Monday. Oregon State Police respond to a vehicle versus pedestrian crash, Highway 62, milepost 13, Jackson County. And apparently the pedestrian, who is 29-year-old Yasika Valenzuela Quesada of Eagle Point, I mean, this is just so sad, was chasing a puppy from a nearby residence. In other words, maybe the puppy got loose or whatever. I don't know the whole story about that. But she's chasing a puppy from this residence into the highway and then struck and killed by a Chevy Tahoe. Melissa Love of Eagle Point was driving that. Very sad. And Valenzuela was dead at the scene, declared dead at the scene. And operator of the Chevy was not hurt, fortunately, and kept things closed there for a while. People were wondering about that. But that is just that's just so sad. You seeing some stories about that, and I'm sure that the victim didn't do this, but it is a teachable moment to remind some people. There has been a growing trend on social media that has not been a healthy one, in which people have been filming or having someone videoing them going to rescue a wild animal in the middle of the road, or a kitten or a cat or a dog. And there has been talk that that's also been leading to a rise in pedestrian vehicle accidents as they do this, because, everyone's out there trying to look for the clicks, the likes and the shares and various other things. Now, no evidence that's happening there, but it just reminded me of that social media trend. But very, very sad for the Valenzuela Quesada family, because a guy lost their family member there over a puppy. It's like, ay, ay, ay. It's shade before 7 o'clock. On other news, a world-class outdoor pickleball facility is going to be built over at the Big X, Rogue X. Press release came out yesterday. Wes Howard Memorial Sports Park Foundation, City of Medford, Southern Oregon Pickleball, Southern Oregon Pickleball Association Foundation. They're going to build a state-of-the-art outdoor pickleball facility. Okay. So 19 courts. They want to attract local, regional, and national tournaments, as well as to provide a premier venue for community recreation. Okay. So they're going to be doing some fundraising for this. They want to get this built. Rich Rosenthal is on the Ashland City Council, from what I recall, who is the Wes Howard Memorial Parks, Sports Park Foundation Board President, City of Medford Parks and Recreation Director, says this facility will honor Wes Howard's legacy of having his property used for the betterment of Medford families, blah, blah, blah. Okay. So they've secured $800,000 towards building this, and an additional $800,000 needed for construction to begin. So they're going to launch a fundraising on this one. Now, my question is, what is the secured funding? Because if it is secured funding and it's taxpayers, and it's coming from the taxpayers, I'm hoping it's not coming from the taxpayers. But when they talk about having secured the funding, my warning bells always raise. Nothing against pickleball, but if you want pickleball, you should be just raising money and building your own pickleball courts. But I guess that I just don't understand the way fascism is supposed to work. Fascism. Now, I'm talking about real fascism. Fascism, which is the corporatism in which you have the merger of corporate and government political power. Everything for the government. Everything for the government. Everything inside the government. Nothing outside the government is allowed to exist. And I'm hoping that's not what's going on over at Rogue X for pickleball. But yeah, we've decided that tourist attractions are supposed to be funded by the taxpayers, which irritates me to my core. Anyway, let's go to Crazy Gene. Not so Crazy Gene, I should say. That's your new name now, right, Gene? Welcome.
That's correct. I wanted to not make myself look any worse than it already looks.
Good to know that. All right, what's going on in your world, huh?
Well, on MGM, the channel I'm watching, they've got a special going on about UFOs.
Uh-huh.
And in that special, they started talking about this Havana syndrome. And it's a lot like MS, only it's pinpoint precision and it's non-progressing.
Now, when you talk about Havana syndrome, is this about like what the people within the embassies ended up suffering, the problems in the...
Well, it's hitting a lot of embassy people. And it is pinpoint precise, like they're getting shot with the microwave something.
Huh. And it mimics MS. Now, I know you've been dealing with MS for many years, haven't you?
Well, I think it's MS, but then again, I'm still alive, which leads me to believe it might be this other stuff they're talking about.
Oh, you mean you've never been actually diagnosed with MS because you told
me? Oh, I've been diagnosed. I've been diagnosed to the point I'm supposed to have been dead 20 years ago.
Oh, okay. All right.
And I'm wondering, why am I still here besides irritating you?
Well, maybe that's your purpose. Everybody has to have a special purpose, Gene.
Oh, I know. Mine just sucks really bad, and I'm trying to stop that trend, but it just keeps going on.
Yeah, that Havana syndrome makes me want to read up more on that. I kind of forgot about that, but yeah, the people that were having the real problems working within the embassy, and they were thinking about a microwave energy attack. And then, of course, other people jump to the fact that, well, okay, now it's 4G, and then 5G, and then it'll be 6G, 7G, 8G, and... Pretty soon, we're just going to embed the cellular phone device and the 5G or the internet connectivity into the skull, and we'll just get done with it. Be done with it. Okay.
It might be a new concept, an idea. Instead of cooking your food, cook yourself.
Yeah, right. There you go. And by the way, you do not irritate me. Thanks for the call. 770-5633. Hi, who's this? Good morning.
Hey, Bill, it's Matt.
Hey, Matt. What's going on in your world, huh?
I agree with you 100%, man. That was the best retail politicking I've ever seen.
Oh, with Trump in the Trump in the garbage truck. That was better than McDonald's, right? It wasn't planned, right? It wasn't telegraphed.
What did they say about the McDonald's? Oh, it was a setup. They had Secret Service everywhere. And then, you know, Joe opens his mouth and leaves this gaping door for Trump to drive through in his trash truck. And he's right. He took a chance. By thinking, I'm sure when he walked into the truck, he went, oh, crap, I'll bet he had that moment of like, how am I going to get into this truck? And then what made it even better is that he's holding a press conference sitting inside the truck with the truck running, the jet in the background.
Yeah.
It was so funny. And the only thing that would have made it better, Bill, there's only one thing. Could you imagine if they had a roll-up door somewhere in his venue? If he could have come rolling into that building.
In the truck.
In that trash truck.
Yeah.
Waving at the crowd from inside the truck.
Yeah, and having Lee Greenwood singing God Bless the USA as the trash truck rolls in, right?
Could you imagine what an image that would have been? And you know what's interesting? So think about the other side of this. So Biden is doing a Halloween thing at the White House, and instead of kissing babies, he's biting their feet and their legs.
Was that the creepiest thing?
Dude, if that isn't your grandchild, that is just sick. And the fact that these moms, like, held it together and didn't react, my first reaction would have, like, been pull my kid's foot away because he's got his mouth open, and then you see your kid's foot going towards his mouth going, you know, I don't know how this is going to end.
Yeah, he's definitely creepy grandpa and definitely infirm. You know what I'm kind of wondering here, Matt? What do you think about this? Would it not be interesting, because Joe should have been Amendment 25 many months ago, okay? Everybody knows it. In a sane world, in a serious country, he would have been Amendment 25 and out quite some time ago. Would it not be interesting if Trump wins the election next week? Let's say if Trump wins the election next week, and then Kamala ends up getting handed the presidency for a couple of months, then has to hand it off to Trump.
What? Wow, it is Thursday, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I just thought I'd float it. Why not?
So, well, what do you, I mean, what would the result of that be? I've got no idea. I mean, I hadn't thought about that, but what's the result of that, you think?
Well, I don't think it really wouldn't, it wouldn't change much, but, you know, she would be president for a short time if they were to Amendment 25 Joe and for the 25, for the final, you know, couple of months or so. Before it, because arguably when you're sticking babies' mouths and biting down on them on camera, you know, there's a couple bolts loose up there. That's all. Okay.
Well, you know, this brings a couple of, well, I want to throw one more thing in about endorsements. You noticed that Arnold Schwarzenegger came out. I call him the Nanny-nator now. And I sent a link for a video. That
yeah, I saw that. Screw your freedom. Right.
And Trump gets Buzz Aldrin. So I think they should call it the rocket ship of garbage deplorables. You've got Elon Musk and you've got Buzz Aldrin. You've got two space frontiersmen endorsing you, people who did things, who do things, and who do they have? Dick Cheney and Liz Cheney.
And Arnold Schwarzenegger. And George, and don't forget George Clooney. Don't forget, you got to have George Clooney there too.
Think about it. We have people who do things and build things. They have people who pretend to build things and do things.
There's the takeaway. Thanks for the call. 770-5633. One more before news. I'm running a little bit late because, hey, we just do. Hi, who's this? Hello?
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
Yeah, I didn't hear the buzz.
It's okay.
Yeah, you triggered me again. actually, Kamala triggered me the other day.
Oh yeah,
you know, we have history, and it's kind of like 1984. I looked up the word fascism in my father's 1928 Winston dictionary. He got that so he could learn English when he emigrated. And fascism is a market economy in which the state plays a strong directive role through economic intervention and policy. Now, Trump wants to reduce the role of the state and let the economy be more free.
But arguably what we have been becoming more and more over the years, and I'm using fascism as it's truly designed to be, not fascism as it's what I don't like politically, right, which is how the left ends up using it. You're fascist, you know, that kind of thing. But you know, if you go back to the days of Benito Mussolini in Italy.
Well, now that's where I got it, because
yeah.
The new dictionaries, first off, Mussolini. Of course, he was the fascist.
And he talked about it as corporatism. He talked about it being more like corporatism, that everything within the state, nothing without the state is all, you know, that kind of thing.
And in the historical context of the thing, the communists were anti-fascist, vehemently anti-fascist, because their idea was the counterpoint to that. They wanted total state control of everything.
Yeah, total ownership of the means of production, while fascism is you technically have title to the means of production. Yeah, you may own the property, but the government is going to micromanage and dictate what you do, you know, with it, which arguably is where the United States has been inching toward over the years. Would that be a fair assessment? Really, where you go? Yeah, you have your own. Yeah, you have your own business, but the government has to tell you everything that you can or cannot do with it. Point well taken. Glad you were triggered, and thanks for calling. This is KMED, KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG, Grants Pass.
I'm Travis Snyder.